searching for a Savior. When John heard in prison that the Messiah was doing things, he wondered, because there was an awful lot of people in that day was claiming to be the Messiah sent by God. That's why he sent word to the disciples to ask them, "Are you the one who has come, or are we to wait for another?" Well, as we read in the scriptures, Jesus answered, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John the Baptist. He said, "Someone dressed in soft clothes, look to those who wear soft robes and more than a prophet." Jesus said, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You and I who believe in the Messiah are greater than John the Baptist." That's a pretty good deal. But there is some history behind the text that does not appear sometimes on the surface. John the Baptist was a popular preacher of the day, and many people were drawn to him, and he became the leader of a movement. He had followers, just as Jesus eventually did. We call them disciples. Disciples are simply no more than people following a teacher. God's salvation, though, was more than anything else. And he organized his whole life around the hope of the coming of the Savior of the world. John believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He said so when Jesus came to him to be baptized. But he and his followers did not immediately become followers of Christ. It took Jesus a while to actually begin his ministry. And then there was a time and a trial in the wilderness. If you remember, Jesus went off to pray. He also went off and spent 40 days in the wilderness to make sure that he was answering God's call on his life. He knew he was the Messiah, but he wanted to get direct message from God himself. Then Jesus returned to the Galilee. That's where he was announced that he was the Messiah. If you remember, he went to the temple. And when he opened the scrolls and he quoted a scripture out of Isaiah, that he was the one to come. And today he says, "You hear the words that the prophet proclaimed, that I am the Messiah." He didn't say it that way, but the people understood it. So we can imagine that as John then carried on his ministry of preaching in the southern part of Israel, he listened with great anticipation to the news. Things that Jesus was doing up in the Galilee. And then John got into trouble, as I mentioned, with the governor Herod, and he was thrown into prison. He must have known that his life was in danger. Then he even more eagerly wanted to know, in fact, if this guy, Jesus, is really and truly the Messiah. And Jesus did not answer directly. Instead, he said, "Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind have received the sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and are raised from the dead. The poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense to me." Now, these were the things that the prophet Isaiah had said would happen, and that the Messiah would come. It's recorded in Isaiah 26, 20. 9, 35, 42, and 61. So the question for us, if they were looking for a Savior in their day and time, should we be looking for a Savior? We need to consider that question. Because some of us already answer too quickly. We have the idea that being saved simply means that we're going to go to heaven and when we die. And that's certainly the gospel truth, but that's not all of it. Some have offered a simple answer. Just believe that Jesus died and takes away your guilt, and you can know that all you have to do then is go to heaven when you die. And that indeed is part of the answer, that the Bible tells us that there is something greater, more to salvation than just that. The Hebrew scriptures say very little about going to heaven, but they say a great deal about salvation. They present God as one who works in this life, as in the history of the world, to save God's people from danger, distress of this life, and to new and a better possibility here and now. For them, salvation was something that was always going on. And that's the same with us. In the New Testament, the words are usually translated to be saved. You hear people say that all the time. The group that was here last night, when they gave their little testimony, they proclaimed that they were saved. Actually, that meaning being saved comes closer to mean to be healed or to made whole. So we notice that most of the signs that salvation was, in which Isaiah was talking about, all these different kinds of physical healing can represent several different kinds of spiritual healing. To be able to make to see, to be able to hear again, means that to be able to understand the real shape of reality and to understand what is this meaning of life. To be able to walk can mean that we are empowered to stand up and to move out and live fully. For the leper, to be cleansed can mean those things that are taken away because a person to be alienated from the community. When the lepers were in the community and they knew that you were a leper, they put you out in a special place. You were outcast. And for the dead to be raised can mean for those who are spiritually dead and be able to made well, to come fully alive, both physically and spiritually. Now, all of these things can be ways of talking about being truly whole, to have the kind of life that God wants us to have. And throughout the Bible, the saving work of God had to deal with God saving us from those things that cripple our humanity. Things like greed, fear, hate, as well as an external oppression. It has to do with God saving us for a new kind of life. The simplest explanation to the life that God wants to save us is to say that God wants us to learn love. God wants us to learn love as God loves. That's the objective of the saving grace of God through Christ. So when Jesus said, "The poor have good news brought to them," he was talking about another dimension of God's saving grace. The renewal of a human society as whole, so that the new age of justice for all people would be ushered in. That too is a matter of enabling humankind to live and to love one another. All these things are part of what the Bible means when it talks about salvation. All of that adds new dimensions to the question about looking for a Savior. Do you want to look for a Savior? You probably haven't even thought about it lately. You might have been saved all your life, so you don't think much about it anymore. But you got to have to be able to keep refreshing yourself in the spiritual sense. Now, we don't have to spend much time watching the evening news on television to see lots of things are going wrong in this old world that we live in. There's so much violence and corruption, human suffering, lots of people, lots of movement seem to be offending themselves and coming apart as, "Oh, here I am, I can help you, I'm a Savior." But most of those don't seem to be making salvation happen. When we look within ourselves, the Bible says that we must every once in a while do a fearless and moral inventory of ourselves. Not other people, ourselves. There's things that we need to be saved from. Still today, even if we had the blessed hope and we received the salvation from Christ, there's still things in this old world that may be crippling us, may be crippling humanity, keeping us from living life fully as we should and be able to and we can. Think about it. Are you able to love? That's one of the things that you got to concentrate on. Are you able to, this is the most important, are you able to love yourself? Not with a greedy selfishness, but with a joyful, healthy self-affirmation that says yes to yourself and yes to life and to live fully and freely. And the thing that we need to concentrate on sometimes, are we able to love in this life? The word love in the English language has been brutalized. The word love in the Greek is the kind of love that God wants us to have, and that's agape love, unconditional love. Think seriously about that. Are you really able to love as life as you have it now and get excited about the life as it can be? Now, you still have trials and tribulations in this old world. Jesus said that too in John 14. He says that in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but fear not, I've overcome the world. So are you really happy, even with the love that you share with those who are close to you? And how wide is that circle within which you love? God wants us to love everybody. That's hard. Yes, everybody. He commands us to love one another as I have loved you. That's hard. But you don't have to like them, but you got to love them. Now, those of us who have been hanging around the church house most of our life probably expect to ask if you love God. Everybody will say, yeah, I love God. That's part of going to church. But if you love in all those other ways, you will also be loving God. Think about it. Could we interest you in salvation? Do you need a Savior? Don't answer right now, but think about it, especially this time of the year. The people of Israel had teachings of the prophets to help them recognize when salvation is happening. We have something better than that. We have the memory of Christ. God sent Jesus into the world to make God known. When you see Jesus, you would see God. Now, Jesus isn't here with us in a physical sense anymore. He went to be with God, but he promised to come back. But what he did say, if I have to go to the Father, I'm going to send one greater than I, the precious Holy Spirit. Somebody that lives within us, somebody that is with us all the time, no matter where we go. We have something better than what the world has. God sent Jesus into the world to make the world known that God exists in the flesh. Jesus works, as the old saying goes, but we got to work it. Jesus found people and communities in all sorts of different conditions in the need of the possibility of things that he could do and relate to themselves. Now, he didn't heal everybody. His ministry was limited. But he healed some. He brought some under judgment so that they realized that they needed to make changes in their life. He forgave those who were crippled by guilt and liberated by those who were oppressed, either by something within them or something that was without them. The knowledge that God loves us enough to reach out to us in a costly commitment was enough to make the difference in their lives. That commitment that Jesus took to the cross of Calvary. And he took the sins of the world to the cross. And when the people who wrote the Bible, it was penned by the Holy Spirit through people like you and I. People who experienced the love of God in so many different ways. That's why we like to say we love to tell that old, old story of Jesus and his love. Thank God for those who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen it down, put it on paper, to be able to have it forever. Immortality, if you would, through the Word of God. It's interesting that there's not been anything changed about the Word of God since the New Testament was penned, because there's nothing else to be added. God came in the flesh of Jesus Christ. He took the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary, and he was third day, he was raised from the dead, breaking that bondage over sin and death. And then he ministered to those others, and he promised them to come back. Not only did he give us the Holy Spirit, but he promised to come back. Many names Jesus had was called in the Bible actually represents the stories of the early Christians told to witness to the saving grace of God that they experienced. That's why sometimes when we give our own personal testimony, it's a testimony of what God has done in our life because it is personal. And the early Christians told them witnesses and it was written down. The stories were different because Jesus found people in different situations. And those who had called him the Word experienced him in one way and told them the secret of the meaning of life. That's one in the title of my old radio program was The Word is the Way to Life. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was Jesus. That's one of the names that he had. Others called him the Son of Man and experienced him as one who had shown the need for change. He called them to repentance. Those called him Messiah experienced him as one who brings about new possibilities. Now here's the key. We talk about the key of David, but here's the key. God is still at work in our lives and in the world to do the same kind of saving graces that God did through Christ. When we see these things happening, either in our own lives or in the world, we know that the Savior is at work. We can open ourselves up to that saving grace and let it happen through us so that we can help others. For example, have you ever come to a place in your life when you realize that things just not working out? Perhaps there's something wrong with the way that what your life had been put together. The realization of that may break in upon you in the midst of angry frustrations, but it can force you to come to grips with the fact that some changes need to be made in your life. I faced that challenge when I decided that I needed to be delivered from alcoholism. John preached that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So if you're worried about all the bad things that are going on in the world, look for some of the movements that are making things better and bringing hope. There's so many programs and so many ministries around the world that are bringing hope. And God might even be calling you to participate in some of those movements, like the missionaries program, which you had. You participated in missionaries of what Tina Rucker's doing. We participate in the ministry of the Heifer Project. There's so many things that you're doing. But if you can remember Jesus calling people to follow him and become his disciples, that too is a saving work. So if you're looking for a Savior, all you need to be looking for is places where salvation is happening. If you go there and you open yourself up to it, it'll happen in you and through you if you just follow the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit.